Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are studying in Philippians chapter 1. We're beginning today a new section called, we've entitled, at least, Living for Christ in verses 19 through 26. Today we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 20. If we borrow a little bit from what he said at the end of verse 18, he says, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death.
Yeah, so he is rejoicing that his it will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit. He knows that he's going to be delivered through their prayers and the provision of the Spirit. That he knows because Christ is being proclaimed, because he's doing the things that he needs to do, and because of his mindset and his defense of the gospel, that he's going to be delivered. And the Lord is going to take care of him. Now, what that looks like may be up for debate right now, but I think it says something about his mindset still, that though he's in prison, he's in far less than ideal circumstances, that he's saying, listen, I'm going to be delivered, and I know that that's going to be the case. He's got confidence about it, and that's because of your prayers and the Lord.
Yeah, he's confident that through their prayers that everything's going to work out for him and he's going to get out because of God. Over in chapter 2 in verse 13, he's going to talk about, we sometimes, I think, talk about the power of prayer, but the power of prayer is the God that we're praying to. So earlier in chapter 1, we talked about what he prayed about for them. Now he's asking them to pray for him. Why is he praying for them and why is he wanting them to pray for him? It's because he believes God isn't on vacation. He's still working and active. Read chapter 2 and verse 13 for us, Garrett. And again, he's going to point out this idea of how God is working.
Yeah, chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
So please pray for me. And notice that though that joy and rejoicing, that it's not tied to circumstance, it's not tied to how he feels or how people feel about him. But
if it was, it wouldn't be this tone at all.
No, right, it's in Jesus. That's what he's saying here. In this verse is that, or in these verses, verses 19 and 20, is that he knows the help is in Christ Jesus, and that's where his joy is at, is in Christ because of him. He says, it's going to turn out to my deliverance. That's a term that means escape or salvation or well-being. So he could be talking about the end of his being persecuted because of his preaching. Mm-hmm. He could be talking about his getting his eternal reward. He could be talking about that it's the end of the threat of execution for him. It could be talking about his release of his prison imprisonment. It seems probably that one is what it is, because he says that's my eager expectation that he's going to be able to be delivered out. But
when you combine that with the fact that he's talking about how that he's expecting to go see them later, mm-hmm. So that kind of points to the whole getting out of prison soon too.
Yeah, but that idea, eager expectation, is that what in verse 20 at the beginning of, is that what the New American Standard has?
He has earnest expectation, but yeah, similar.
Well, the idea behind the original word is like stretching out your neck to see what's coming around the corner, kind of idea. In contrast, think about 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and his anticipation there, his expectation there, was his reward I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which mm-hmm. the Lord shall give me. He's expecting a reward, not a release in 2 Timothy. But either way, he still has Christ in his view. Because in 2 Timothy 4, that the Lord will give me at his appearing is when he's going to give me that reward. Here in Philippians 1, it's the expectation that Christ is going to be the one that is going to give him that deliverance that he wants to have.
Yeah, he says he will not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, that Christ will be exalted in his body, whether by life or by death. In other words, it doesn't matter what happens to me or how it turns out, that the Lord is going to be glorified, which kind of is the same. It's kind of a continuation of that idea that he's talking about with the other preachers and the selfish ambition and stuff like that, is that, you know, no matter the circumstance, I'm going to glorify Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's me being free and being out and being able to preach to people, then that's fine. And if it means me being in prison and chained to people, then that's fine. If it means that, you know, there's other people that are envious of me and take my place, that's fine. If it means that I die, then that's fine. You know, the goal is still that Christ is placed on the top shelf here, that he is he's being exalted, that Christ is being exalted.
Is that what your says exalted?
Yeah, he says that Christ 20? Will now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death.
The ESV has be honored. The word in the original language means to make large. Mm. The tendency is that we think of self in that terms. You know, we want to save our own skins. We want to make ourselves look like the big man on campus or whatever, but not Paul. You get to Acts chapter 28 when Paul is imprisoned and he's teaching others while he's under arrest. You know, so earlier Paul wanted to speak for Christ, and here he wants to live for Christ. And whatever he does, I want to magnify Jesus. I want to live in such a way that I'm not going to dishonor myself, but I'm going to honor Jesus. And, you know, that's the thing. The circumstances, as we keep talking about, shouldn't affect that. But as we keep talking about, you know, the older I get, I've seen people die and it was literally the end of the world for them. I've seen people die and, you know, they showed faith and trust in the Lord. And the older I get, that's more and more what I do, is I pray, let me die in a way that honors you. Let me grow old in a way that you know, shows my faith in Jesus. And, you know, that's what Paul wants to do. He wants to speak for Christ. He wants to live for Christ. He wants to honor Christ. And what makes this so in his life is what he's going to say in verse 21. And we will get to that, verses 21 through 24, in our study tomorrow. But for today, thank you so much for being with us here as we've looked at verses 19 and 20 of Philippians 1 on Scripture Spotlight. I hope you'll like, share, subscribe, tell others about this, that you'll dedicate 5 to 10 minutes a day with us as we dig into God's Word. We hope that you will try to put aside, you know, whatever preconceived notions we have and just look at what the text says, because that's really all that matters, is what God has told us in his word. That has to be our standard, and that's what we try to do here. So thank you for studying along with us today on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. We'll see you tomorrow.